Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Vlad and this is Chris Barker.
You got the name right there, yes.
Awesome. So what are you doing, Chris, at Microsoft?
So I'm a program manager in Windows Engineering. I've been at Microsoft for about 12 years now, but I've always had a very developer-centric role, no matter where I've been working across the different parts of the org.
Awesome. So I guess you used to work with partners, I know, and you work with partners now.
Yeah, my whole time has been with partners. I kind of actually started back in developer support, so working with partners over the telephone, but then I moved into a developer consultancy role, so it was great to get out and meet devs face-to-face, and into the role right now, yeah, I'm working with lots of different developers, big orgs as well, talking about some of our latest and greatest technology.
Awesome. You know, Chris works with Facebook, so those beautiful apps on Windows, like actually Facebook app and Instagram, he has some of his, I don't know, identity in those, right?
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah. So this week was actually quite big, and it was for us, it was all about Windows, since we are in Windows. There was a big event about Creators Update, right? But not just about the Windows Update itself, but also about the services and devices and many other things. And we're actually going to talk about this in details.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a super exciting week. The thing that really kind of struck it for me was that we weren't just talking about the software and the platform, the OS. It was really kind of the end-to-end of the hardware right through to the software as well. So it's a great kind of coming together of those two really important pieces.
And we start from Windows 10 Creators Update, so the software part of the announcement. For me, it was huge. It was kind of a puzzle made of many parts and details, starting from the holographic platform. We already talked about it previously, but we basically announced that we were bringing pretty cheap, I would say, for the modern like VR space, $299 is a very cheap device, and we say that our partners, such as HP and others, they're bringing new laptops and new VR devices to the market, so it's going to be more affordable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that the thing I really like here as well is that it's the Creators Update, so we gave this thing a name finally, and it's really that kind of theme that we see throughout the hardware and the software as well, which is kind of keeping to that theme. And on the VR side of things, I think it was an awesome announcement because we now have that kind of multiple price points for people to start using this technology and really putting it into people's hands.
Yeah, this update is huge. It's huge by itself. It's also huge for developers because we bring in a new platform and updated services, and we're going to talk about this a bit later. But what we really want to talk about now, it's like, let's skip a bit the software part, because the hardware part was really, really exciting. And we start from a new device, Surface Studio.
Surface Studio. So I actually got a chance to play with one of these very briefly earlier on today, and it's a super thin screen. They were talking about it at the event this week, and actually kind of getting hands-on with it. It's incredible how thin that thing is, and I think it's a great opportunity for creators to kind of get really hands-on with the assets, the creatives that they're creating, and it's almost like, you know, it's really like that kind of desk that you're really bringing into your studio, and you can really start to create things using a pen or another new device accessory that we spoke about this week as well.
Dial. So yeah, I'm really impressed by this device because we have a few of them, or probably a couple or three of them actually in our team. So this is really exciting because, for example, changing the angle, it's very easy to do it, like with one hand, no pressure, just really easy. But it's also really stable. So once you're done with changing the angle, it stays.
Yeah.
And once you put it like in a proper position for drawing with the pen, for even like laying down, like pen has demonstrated, and you put dial on top of it, this is amazing. It's just exciting.
And the interesting thing there for me was that you can use the dial and it works beautifully with the studio. You can also use it with the Surface Book as well, so it can be used in a detached state away from the actual device, and you can use it to do things like switch the volume, kind of zoom in, zoom out, even kind of undo last action and things like that. But yeah, you're right, as soon as you kind of attach it to the studio, the new device, you can then start to open up new experiences. And these aren't experiences which are just purely from the platform perspective. You as app developers can actually start to integrate these experiences into your apps as well. And there's APIs out there to go and do that today and start to code up your apps to integrate.
Exactly. The dial is a lot more interesting from the developer perspective than from the device perspective. As device itself, yeah, it has integration with the operating system. You can like, we can change volume. There are some embedded functions working out of the box. But what makes it really great is the apps. The device itself, like if we're talking back to Surface Studio, it's a high-end, like mind-blowing spec device. The 4K plus resolution is like 4.5K, I believe, yeah. Right? It's a sixth generation i5, i7 GPUs, 32 gigs of memory, 32, right? Not 16. Like 2 terabyte drive. It's just like the powerful GPU. That's just the, like a high-end PC. Everyone wants to have it.
And I've heard people who have started to use it kind of early on as well, that they really feel kind of immersed into this like large screen. And as you mentioned, and as we showed on stage as well, people are kind of like lying down and kind of mm-hmm. really tightly crafting the new creative artistic assets that they're trying to develop. So it's, yeah, really good.
Awesome. More about devices. Surface Book. We announced an updated Surface Book, more powerful, with 16 hours of battery life. Do you believe?
16 hours, incredible.
Yeah, there are many companies manufacturing high-end laptops, and the one that recently announced their refresh of laptop. I was really like waiting for the battery time and for the power. It's not that powerful. Yeah, so Surface Book is like on the high-end side, it's really the most powerful laptop. I'm not talking about Alienware's with this thick laptops where the battery weight more than the probably Surface Book itself.
I use a Surface Book here. It's a great experience. So it's good to see that we're continuing to iterate on this model and have a higher end version coming out as well, yeah. Keeping the model going forwards.
And if you are a geek, like imagine you have a discrete NVIDIA GPU in this, so you can use CUDA, for example, and it's really important. You have all kinds of ports, right? You have a beautiful screen. You have a pen. It's just a monster, even like in the mobile form.
And it's a detachable screen as well, so you get the flexibility.
Yeah. Great. So back to software. Windows 10 Creators Update has one important feature. You know, we recently, quite recently actually, acquired Beam, a company mm-hmm. that does streaming. And what we tell people now, with Windows 10 Creators Update, everyone is a streamer, right? So both on Xbox and Windows 10, the broadcasting, game broadcasting, becomes an OS feature. That's great.
And I think that was one of the points of friction in the past. Like you could go and do this thing right up till now, but mm-hmm. There were lots of kind of barriers to go and do it. So you had to be kind of a little bit kind of hardcore on the techie side to get this up and running, and really we lower the barrier to entry in making that possible now. So I think that's a good step forwards.
Yeah, and it's basically for all developers and for all game developers and for all users on the same time.
Yeah.
Awesome. And talking more about the software side of this update, and more like on, it's not really third-party software, but non-Windows software. Office 365, like I mean desktop apps in the Office, they really leverage this new 3D capabilities of Creators Update.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in a bit. I think this was one of the kind of standout new experiences that we spoke about this week as well. And these 3D models that you go and create can now be consumed within a variety of applications, and we see them making their way into the Office suite. I think you move away from that very kind of static PowerPoint deck, and you start to really start to immerse your audience into the subject matter you're talking about.
Yeah. And actually, if you're a developer, there was a great video on recorded here in this studio on Channel 9. Kevin Gallo is talking about the developer perspective of the Creators Update. He's talking about this new APIs for the dial, or how they call them.
So there's a radial controller.
Radial controller, yes. Yeah.
So that's already available today. The API is in the OS. So as I mentioned before, you can start to build those experiences in, and ahead of getting the actual hardware itself. And then we also spoke about some other touch points or integrations into Windows 10. So the people at your fingertips feature or experience. So when I'm using Windows 10 today, it's great. I have all my apps there on my start menu or on my taskbar. But what about getting access to those people that really matter to me, the people that I talk to on a day-to-day basis? I can now start to pin those contacts into a special area in the bottom right of my screen here in the people bar. And so if I want to communicate or share some assets with those people, I can just drag and drop photos, videos, whatever you like with those people and really easily share it. And we also have something called the people panel as well that can pop up, and it shows all of those different applications that have been integrated into that experience as well. So there's a developer angle there to start integrating into that experience too.
Yeah, we used to have a people hub, right? Do you remember like Windows Phone 7 people hub with all the information and news feeds integrated to one place? And we kind of was fading away from that, and now we're getting back because this is really a demanded feature, right? People like it.
Yeah, so we had the people hub on Windows Mobile previously, or Windows Phone, and then we had the people app on, I think, Windows 8. And this, I really like to see that it's really being brought into the forefront inside of the actual shell itself, so it really makes it super accessible for you to get to those people really quickly and remove any kind of friction between you and the people that do matter.
Love it.
Yeah.
So more things for developers. This week is not just about Windows. .NET Core 1.1 got its first preview. You know, it's all open source. It's on GitHub, so you can build the most recent version any day. But it's really important to get the milestones, even preview milestones, because this is where when developers are really targeting, like with bug fixes and certain feature updates. And this new preview, and this actually new version, it's a minor version, but still brings new operating system support. I mean, the flavors of the operating system, the OSs, they are the same, but it's important to support a whole bunch of Linuxes and different version of Windows, different version of macOS. They have new APIs, obviously, and includes new ASP.NET and so on. So
and being a long-term .NET developer, I mean, 10 years ago, this kind of cross-platform support was really unimaginable. So I think this is really awesome stuff.
This is cool. I have a question. Do you remember a joke about how many developers you need to change the light bulb?
Please remind me, Vlad.
The answer is actually you don't need developers because it's a hardware problem. But there is a great post at Gizmodo, I believe, about how many drones does it take to change a light bulb. So these guys have really made a drone that can change light bulbs. And this is a matter of fun. You may think it's just it's quite easy and it's about nothing. What's interesting, genuinely well, but you can see these consumer grade drones. It's not very expensive. They're quite expensive, but they are consumer grade drones. They are so precise these days, so they can change a light bulb.
Do you think there's a guy here actually controlling that manually, or has he automated that in some way to do some clever detection?
If you're curious, you want to go and read this post.
I'm just teeing it up there. Yeah.
Yes. So this is quite interesting. This is that moment when we reach my favorite part of this week on Channel 9, Picks of the Week. And you might notice that we actually missed one piece of this week's Windows 10 update. And that piece is actually that bringing 3D to everyone.
Yes.
What is this about? This is Chris, Picks of the Week.
So there was lots of cool stuff this week. And I mean, the hardware was incredible. I talked about, I kind of played with that stuff earlier on today. Some of the other stuff from a more kind of software perspective was making 3D available to everybody and making that available in the experiences that people are used to today. So, we have this application called Paint. It's been there since the dawn of time. And now we talk about this new Paint 3D experience where I can start to create 3D models. And the interesting thing for me was that they talked about this in kind of three different distinct pillars. So you had the kind of the creation part, which is very much in alignment with the creator's update, I guess. And you have the community, so I don't need to go create something from complete scratch. I can start to leverage the work that other people have done. And then I also actually want people to go and consume this in some way as well. And we saw a teaser a moment ago mm-hmm. that you can actually go consume this inside of tools or apps like PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. And so you can see that full end to end. And the thing that really impressed me there was that they did think about the story from start to finish, from creation to sharing with the community and taking things in from the community, and also being able to actually go consume those assets in different applications as well. And we even showed a share through there to a social network for, uh-huh. for consuming and sharing with all your friends.
Or you can even 3D print it, so you can have it in your hands.
Yeah.
Like, what also amazed me there will be an app on mobile phones which you can use for scanning things. Like, it's basically, if you're in computer vision, it's monocular SLAM for scanning with just a regular smartphone camera, and like you have this 3D object,
so
like a point cloud.
Sandcastle, right? So they kind of like moved around it here, and it kind of took that in. So a 3D model here, a physical object, and bringing that into the environment as well. And I think we're starting to see the lines very much blurring between 2D and 3D now as well.
And given that it's there's so much science behind that, the tool, this Paint 3D, it's really simple to use. They use right terms, not using, for example, they don't use the term texture. Because like, who understand texture, man?
Yeah.
Like only 3D developers. It's really easy to start using, and it's really easy to get started with existing assets. So you can draw on top of 3D objects, you can like cut, you can add the new things. It's really like a paint. Right?
Yeah.
If you compare this thing to software like Blender or Maya, it's really like Paint versus Photoshop, right?
That's right. I mean, I'm sure you did as well. We're kind of brought up in this very kind of two-dimensional world, but you see kind of the younger demographic now are actually really starting to, they are creators. Many of them kind of associate themselves with creators of something. And this enables them to start building something which is much more immersive and 3D rather than that very flat plane that we've seen in the past.
Excellent. So, and my pick of the week is actually different. This week, a part of many, many Windows and hardware announcements, we also announced that we made a kind of new version, it's like new product of Cognitive Toolkit, which we used to know as CNTK, and I don't even remember how like this, like what it means. But generally, it's a deep learning toolkit, and you can do amazing things. And with this toolkit, you can pretty much do what you can do with Caffe or Theano. You can do things like speech recognition, you can do semantic segmentation. You may see this on this picture on the right, they do semantic segmentation of objects in the fridge. And it's really universal. It's from the developer perspective and from the operational perspective, this framework is probably the best from the scaling. On the scaling part, so it really scaling good across multiple servers and multiple GPUs. It's also really good from the performance perspective. It's multi-platform and supports things like CUDA and modern kind of intrinsics on all kinds of CPUs. So that's like state-of-the-art thing. And it's open source on GitHub. As usually, we accept your contributions. And like it really pushes deep learning and artificial intelligence forward. And that's what Satya used to talk a lot about, democratizing AI.
Exactly. It's much more accessible now as well than it used to be. And you can just easily tap into all of that compute that's on in the cloud and bring that into your application through the experiences that make most sense.
Yeah, there was also a blog post about how to make the semantic segmentation part of things based on the ImageNet. This is what you really can just get started with and try and see how amazing it is.
So I can see how long something's been in my fridge for in this case, right?
Exactly.
All those important use cases.
Yeah. So that's it for this week. Thank you for being with us. I'm Vlad.
And I'm Chris.
And bye. Have fun.
Thank you.